Blog Talk Radio.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say.
A letter that I received from the City of Chicago informing me and other retirees that have worked for the City of Chicago for countless years and that have given their time and effort and risked their lives to the citizens of Chicago, that the city will no longer be providing any health care to its retirees. I find this to be abominable. This is so sad that a city this size says it has no money to provide health care to its retirees who were promised this when they were hired, who've given 30 years or more, and now turns around and says, we're not going to cover you. It's up to you to go out and get a plan. Whether that be $3,000 a month or not, it doesn't matter to us anymore, but you're on your own. I find this to be so sad that a city of this size, Chicago, is doing this to its retirees who've worked for the city for so long. Other cities don't do this. I hope everyone that reads this can realize what this means to many people who are on fixed retiree incomes. If you're making maybe $5,000-$6,000 a month and you end up paying $2,000-$3,000 a month now for health care, it's a drastic change, and a lot of people won't be able to do it. I hope everyone can forward this on, maybe go viral, whatever, but I just want this to get out there, and I want people all over to know what's being done to the retirees in Chicago. Thank you for your time.
Welcome to Bilal Talk Radio. This is Reginald, and I'll be your host. Today, we're going to talk about whatever you like. If I call your first three of your number, that's your name. I don't see names, I only see the number, so I'll go by your first three. If you'd like to call in, the number is 602-753-3017. That's 602-753-3017. So anything you'd like to talk about is an open platform. A lot of people was asking me about the contract. I have no idea what's going on. But I looked up online, and if you look online, it says, new city labor contracts must be a better deal for the taxpayers, Rahm said. You can type it in, and it'll pop up. He released it August 9th, 2017 at 4:55, and then he put it back out, updated it August 11th, 2017 at 11:36 a.m. So basically he's saying he wants the unions to make a better deal for the taxpayers. So if you want to comment on that, you're more welcome. So I'm going to welcome Dan to the show. Welcome to the show, Dan.
How you doing, Reggie?
You got it. So if anything you'd like to talk about, you're more welcome to talk about. If you'd like to talk about the court case Wednesday, you're more welcome to brief everybody on what happened with the court case.
Yeah, I'll do that in a minute. Let's talk about what the mayor wants and what the union ran a campaign on. So guess what the union, the Integrity Slate campaigned on? 12 holidays for all members, eliminate the 4 10-hour days, 12 sick days for all members, amend the probationary period, preserve and protect area standard wages and increases for every member, additional vacation and VVS days for all members, give members a choice of health care plans, eliminate wellness, federal mediation service, independent hearing officer for pre-disciplinary hearings. So out of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, they haven't come through with any of them. Complete total failure by our union. So if you think you're getting any of these things that the union campaigned on, any of these benefits, like amend the probationary period or preserve and protect area standard wages, good luck. Because I'm not a betting man, but I'll be glad to wager our union will cave in. They won't do any of these things they campaigned on. However, Reggie, you and I knew that, and a lot of laborers knew that, and that's why they didn't get our vote. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And you also mentioned the contract negotiation is frozen. And I don't know if, again, we'll mention this to the members. That means you don't get back pay. That means there's no negotiations. It's not like the negotiations are dragging on. They stopped negotiating. So the last couple contracts, it was 10 years ago, the laborers received back pay because it took well over a year to negotiate. But since it's frozen, you're not getting back pay. So this is another benefit from your union that they forgot to inform you of when they ran for re-election.
Wow. Now, if you read the article, he mentioned in the article, actually, he wants them to make concessions on the health care. So a lot of career laborers will be paying more in the health care.
So I guess the integrity slate lied? Is that weird? Is that what it comes down to?
Well, I'm only going to tell you what Ron Emanuel posted. Most likely, they said they had a good relationship with him. They said they was in bed with the guy as far as, we know what we're doing. You know, we have a relationship with this guy. Anytime he goes out to the media and say what he wants, I'm pretty sure he's going to get what he wants.
Well, that's funny because any other union's a little different than a politician. Any politician, they don't associate themselves with Ron. He's toxic. His name is toxic. But leave it to our union to endorse Ron and then say we have a good relationship with him. So that just means, well, you could take it two ways. You have a good relationship with the mayor. Does that mean the members are be getting better benefits or the members are be getting more cuts? I take it as more cuts, not more benefits. Additional vacation days, you can kiss that goodbye. The mayor's not going to give you additional vacation days. 12 holidays, you're not going to get 12 holidays. Only the coordinators will get it and the superintendents. Eliminate the 4 town-hour work days, won't happen. 12 sick days for all members, you won't get one sick day, even though it's the city ordinance. Federal mediation service. Do you think our union really wants feds snooping around in disciplinary hearings? I don't think so. They might check the books.
Everything you're saying is something they got ran on, but now they in for 4 years. There's nothing you can do until the next 4 years from now.
Oh, yeah, you can do. You can make sure you can call the inspector general or call the federal dirks and federal building. Why? And ask, why aren't these investigators jobs bid on? Why is it not a bidding process that people are appointed without a bid? I never saw a bid out for an investigator. Have you?
Nope.
So there's certain jobs that's in the union that are collectively bargained, yet they're not bid on collectively. These jobs aren't shackled exempt either. They have the bidding for the coordinators. They always have bids for that. They have bids for most jobs, but not for inspectors. I wonder why. Well, maybe the international should be made aware of that.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. But you know, people got to wake up. Just like we tell people they don't see it until it's right in their face. They don't wake up.
Well, yeah, they still
so,
got.
So what else?
You're right.
Go ahead,
Dan. 4 more years of this. They got 4 more years unless something happens. But we'll change the subject. I went to the healthcare case August 9th downtown at the Daly Center, and the judge. It was about a 2-hour session. Both sides argued in front of the judge for well over 2 hours, and so it was a. The city had 7 lawyers. The annuitants had 1 lawyer and possibly two lawyers. But the labor's benefit pension fund had a lawyer siding with the city. They were down there. The firemen's and police benefits were down. Their lawyers are siding with the city. So basically the case, I think this Mr. Krizlov did a good job. He exposed the stonewalling by the city, how they're sitting on a lot of information they don't want to release. And the judge is a little fed up with it, and he ordered them within by the next court case, I think it's in September, early September, to have a full list of all the Korshak annuitants and the Class 3 and 4 annuitants. Now, what happened was the judge wanted to settle 2 things. He wants to know if the settlement agreement ended. Yeah, because this is in appellate court, so he can't make a ruling on a lot of these claims until the appellate court, which has ruled on some of them and not others. So he right now doesn't have jurisdiction on a lot of this until the annuitant's lawyer files a brief Now, he could file a brief, and that may change, the judge said. So the labor's obligation, the labor fund obligation, is to approve a plan and for reconciliation, which means damages. For the pre-court shackle, I don't know how far that'll go back, but as far as the city eliminating the health care in 17, there will be some reconciliation for members. So he wants the city to get a list of all the annuitants, you know, and their starting date, et cetera, before they all die. So he wants it within, see, the city will sit on this for 10 years till they're all dead. But the judge ruled, because our lawyer brought it up, the judge ruled, no, it has to be done fairly soon, by the next court date. So that's a good sign. Now, I was talking to annuitant, or the lawyer outside, Mr. Krizlov. He said the city health care for retirees is actually cheaper now than it was back even 5 years ago. And I'll tell you why. This is what he told me. The annuitants are dying, you know, as time goes on. And the post-87 or 89 employees are paying into Medicare and Medicaid. So the city's actually spending less money on health care for these newer annuitants when they start retiring. So the excuse the city has no money is just a flat-out lie. It's actually, the health care now is cheaper than it was 5 years ago because more annuitants have died off, the Korshak annuitants.
Wow. So the old the city is broke.
No, the city's not broke. We know that. Did you read that book I gave you, Chicago's Not Broke,
right,
by Tom Tresser? Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, you can refer out of that all the TIF money. And I have two copies, but I misplaced them. I got to find them. I don't know what I did with them. But I'll find them out. Our next show will refer from the book. So April 1st, 1986 is, I believe, the class. That's when he starts classifications after that. So he wants the police and fire to report what they are doing for retiree health care. Now, I know the city, the police still have a health care plan, I think, for some, I don't know if it's for sergeants or officers, I'm not sure. But he also wrote an extension of the city agreement. See, the city agreed to extend health care, and then they cut it off. So the judge ruled, no, the extension of the city agreement is part of the settlement, so that may be included. Of course, he doesn't know if he has jurisdiction on certain of these items in the court, so if our lawyer files a brief, he will. So
I'm pretty sure he'll probably try to appeal it to the city.
Yeah, well, it's in parts are in appellate. We brought it to appellate court. So hopefully, and if the appellate court turns it down, he might go to Supreme Court. So here's, as a 1-1 of 14, January 1st, 14, the city paid 55% of city of health care. The city agreed for 14, 15, and 16. However, didn't seem like they paid 55% of my health care for the last half of 2016. City has committed to all outside of class 1 and 2, which is 1 and 2 are the ones of Korshak. The city claims it never made a 9% commitment to the class 1 and 2. The defendant never filed a claim for obligation. Well, he may not have, but this is what the argument's about. So apparently the city wants this lawyer to file some more claims. So if he files these claims, our end of the case will look a lot better, I think.
Well, so that's pretty good, decent news, you know, for the retirees.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's going to be reconciliation. I mean, they don't know the amount. That'll come up later, and he doesn't know if or when. He doesn't know if or how much our pro bono lawyer will get paid, Mr. Krizlov. So the city may have to pay him also, which is fair, because they're going to lose the case, parts of the case. So I'll probably go to the next one. Hopefully I'm not busy. But it was very interesting. And, of course, the city doesn't mention. The city's just going to the judge. Oh, we offered the annuitants a plan in 2017, but they didn't mention how much it costs. And I didn't hear any premium costs discussed in front of the judge. So I asked the lawyer, these judges pay $1 a month in health care. At least they did a few years ago, circuit court judges, $1 a month. I said to our lawyer, these judges, I don't think they're aware of how much our health care is. I'm sure he's got to be aware of some of it, because he reads the paper. So, but no amounts for premiums were ever brought up. And so maybe that'll happen down the road. But I'm going to ask the lawyer, please mention the premium amounts that the city's asking for, which are basically absurd. So that's where that is.
Okay. Anything else new?
I'm trying to think. Let's see. No. What's new? With the laborers, are they still getting suspended, left and right?
From what I'm understanding, you have the superintendent of the Southern War pass. I want to say his name is Mr. Williams. I'm not exactly sure, but he passed today. They found him today. Huh. That's something new. And he was a decent superintendent. He didn't, he wasn't an all-out write-up superintendent like the 34th, which is good
right.
Friends with the union. And most laborers noticed that most of the write-ups come from the 34th Ward. So
yeah.
It's kind of odd that that's where the union said they're strong at in the 34th Ward with Kerry Austin, but those are your most write-ups. So, it's just awkward, something to keep out there. I'm telling laborers, you got a cell phone. Take pictures of things, and then this way, when you go to your hearing, you can argue on what you was written up for. Because a lot of times, RCCs and superintendents don't take a picture of it. They just tell you to pick it up. So if you get hurt or something happened, they're going to play, hey, we didn't tell you to do it. So you need to take pictures of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because the coordinators don't want to take the heat. They know it's illegal, but they're just doing what they're told.
Right.
So everybody's afraid.
And they still union.
Yeah, and they're in our union. So they're not protecting laborers, but they're in the same unit. Well, that's what we discussed that in the election, in the campaign. Why are coordinators in our union if they're not protecting laborers? And now I hear they have the power to suspend laborers and discipline them.
Yeah.
Years ago, they could never do that. It always have to be. They would refer it to a superintendent who would then issue the disciplinary findings. But now, if they can sign that, I don't recall. That's not in our constitution. I don't believe. You got a book here that a coordinator can actually discipline you.
In the Constitution, I know it's no one can run for an office if you have the power to hire or fire. Now, if a coordinator writes you up, he can have you terminated. So that's
right.
Kind of odd. It ain't like, they're going to slap you on the wrist and tell you to go back and pick it up. So it's odd the way a lot of wording is to benefit the management side of it.
Well, yeah, and a lot of this is oral agreements. I mean, here I got disciplinary action.
Yeah.
Here,
so,
it says transfer. Go ahead.
No, as I said, members just got to stick together and start reading the Constitution more. Go for it, Dan.
It says here, transfer shall not be part of an employee's discipline. So when they threaten to transfer you, I mean, and I've heard and seen that done to people. So that's illegal.
Yeah.
But apparently they still do it.
They're going to get a rule of awakening when, you know, the contract come out.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll compare the Constitution books. But there's big changes in them.
Yeah.
Now,
so,
you were telling me they want to, a while ago, that the a record of discipline may be retained for a period of time not to exceed 18 months. And you were telling me the city wants to extend that, or they did extend it. And did the union do anything about it?
Well, I'm not at the table no more to hear what's going on, because everything is top secret when you're sitting at the e-board table. So I know the city had put that out there if they wanted to extend it. And a couple of guys that was running this had information mentioned it to me that, you know, it came past them too. So I don't know if the union agreed to it or not, but I am familiar that as far as getting hurt on a job, on your DD, I heard the union agreed to caps. I'm not exactly sure about the caps, but I'll find out more, and I'll let you know more, or I'll say it on the show, but they do have caps. So if you get hurt, it's only so much you can receive.
Well, they have caps now. I mean, it's called the Illinois Industrial Board or something like that. And if you lose a finger, there's a set amount that you're entitled to. So they've had caps for years, but they can't just arbitrarily make caps without legislation passed by the state. Because disability is a statewide. It's not citywide, and it's not union-wide. It's done by the legislature. That's why, you know, Ronan was talking about he wants changes in workman's comp. Well, because they have to do it through the legislature. So, but there are caps for, I have a book somewhere. It's called the Illinois Industrial Commission, I believe. And it gives you a list for, you know, like a severed finger, stuff like that. I have to look for it.
Right.
I don't know where it's at. I'm not too organized here at home. Everything's in a pot.
Take your time.
Everything's in a big pot. But I'll find it eventually. I don't have it now.
So when you're out walking the streets, how do you think the morale is of the membership?
Very bad. Very bad. But you create your own morale by not voting. So that's usually what happens. I asked a couple laborers, you know, when they're talking about, I go, did you vote? He goes, no, not this time. I voted last time, 4 years ago. I go, well, this is what you're going to get. It's going to get worse. So basically the union and the city probably made an agreement. Let's get rid of every career service labor. We'll go to general laborers, and then we'll privatize it out.
Save a lot of money.
Yeah, it's just sanitation. They'll never privatize aviation because that's where all the patrons' jobs are, the patrons' laborers. There's still patrons' laborers in the Department of Transportation, a lot of the patrons' laborers in water, and definitely fleet management is all patronage. I don't think there's any. I don't think they had a lottery for any of those jobs. They may have one or two. But it just takes someone to look into that, a lawyer or an uncompromised inspector general. And apparently this guy Ferguson's compromised now because he wants these contracts to benefit taxpayers. So he's right in the Emanuel's back pocket now because Emanuel has – it's up to the mayor to reappoint him to his job. So that sounds like a great gig. Huh? It's up to the mayor to report you. So if you bring a case against the mayor, do you think you'll get rehired? I don't think so. But all this eventually changes when the mayor has too much power. We need to elect a school board. We need a lot of elections.
Well,
okay.
I know a lot of things need to be changed,
yeah.
Even with the commissioners.
I got the book, A Guide to Benefits, provided by the Illinois Workers' Compensation Act and Daily Log, prepared by GWC, Goldberg, Weissman, Cairo Law Firm. They passed this out at the Union Hall a while ago. So, virtually every worker who is hired or injured in the state of Illinois is covered by workers' compensation. So that tells me it's state governed. So whatever the city wants and the union wants, it's not state governed. So a good lawyer will laugh at the city and laugh at the union when they try and impose caps that aren't legal caps. So, yeah, as long as you got a lawyer, you don't have to worry.
Now, you did see in the news that this CCA worker that got his hand caught in between the tire, changing the tire?
No, I didn't see that.
All right, he got his hand caught, and now the fire department had to lift the CCA bus up to release his hand. We have the same problem with one-man trucks. A lot of laborers are working as a one man behind the truck. So if something happened behind that truck, who's going to be there to help that laborer?
Oh, nobody. No, you're screwed. Because don't forget, a lot of times the driver will back up. He doesn't know you're there behind the truck. I've had that happen, too. I'll throw it in reverse. So I tell all these drivers, I'm not in a hurry. You might be in a hurry to please the boss so you get snow command. I'm not in a hurry. I'm going to work safe. And if you do that again, you back that up again, I will work so slow, you'll be pulling the hair out of your head. So, and usually that does the trick for the drivers. The drivers don't cooperate. A lot of drivers cooperate. They're not, you know, in love with the city. But you got a lot of drivers who think, well, this is supposed to be a real job. Well, in the real world, in waste management, the driver's out loading, so I don't think the drivers really want a real job. They'd have to get out and load the truck. I don't think they're up for that.
Well, and that's something that Ron would love to see, a driver to get out and work and drive the truck.
Yeah, that could happen. I mean, you know, it could happen.
Yep. So the times have really changed since your days versus now, even with the workload, in between loads, cleaning up, or laborers are scared to take a 1070 to use the restroom. You know, it just times have really changed.
Oh, yeah. Even 3 years ago, since I retired, I talked to the guys hanging signs. I see them once in a while. They go, they put you on a truck on the overtime weeks. They never did that before. I mean, when I was even, you know, in 2016, they didn't do that. I go, well, you just don't finish the route until 4 o'clock. That's all. But they're all scared.
And you still don't get paid for your gas to use.
Well, that's another thing. How can the city tell one laborer you can use your car, but another laborer you can't? So this all has to be addressed by the union, which doesn't address a damn thing. They don't address a damn thing. The coordinators should be driving you out, picking you up, just like they do with laborers. That's their job.
Well, it don't benefit you to drive your own car, which a lot of laborers do. Second of all, if somebody attack you at 6 o'clock in the morning while you hanging signs, you're out there by yourself with no radio. They assume you have a cell phone, but you're out there with no radio, and they post how much you get paid on the internet. So the average person knows at least you got $20 for lunch.
Right.
So the city set it up to fail.
Okay, so here's a couple guidelines by GWC. Can an injured worker lose his job for filing a claim for compensation? It's unlawful for any employer or insurance company to interfere with, restrain, coerce, or discriminate against any worker in a manner whatsoever. So, that's no. Should an injured worker submit to a recorded statement in person or over the phone if requested by his employer or insurance company? No. No recorded statement. Should an injured worker sign any documents except an accident report for his employer or insurance company? No. No documents should be signed, according to GWC. Should an injured worker apply for unemployment compensation benefits if he's not receiving workers' compensation benefits after an injury? No, you can't apply for unemployment. Does an injured worker need an attorney to assist in the handling of a workers' compensation claim? Yes, you need an attorney. I totally agree with that.
Wow. And a lot of times they won't even talk to you if you have a lawyer. If you have a lawyer, then they'll stop talking to you and they just say they'll contact your lawyer.
Oh, yeah, because if you don't have a lawyer, they're going to try and weasel their way out of it. They're going to tell you to go on family leave. They'll harass you. That's why you have a lawyer, so you can't get harassed by the city. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, so what do you think about your aldermen? You think your aldermen are doing good, or because the time is ticking, it's almost time for another race?
Well, I talked to a few residents in the ward. They have to sell their house. The real estate taxes went up because the floor leader, Pat O'Connor, Rahm's floor leader, raised taxes through Rahm, so he okayed the tax increase by Rahm. So a little more and more people are getting fed up with Mr. O'Connor. And now he's riding around. Someone saw him in a brand new, what's the top of the line Honda called? The sedan. Is it, what's it called? I don't probably forget. Anyway, it's a top of the line sedan. He's got vanity plates with the word condos on it. So his wife sold all these condos, made 10 to 15 million in commissions because he rezones parcels and she sells the condos for the developer. She's the exclusive listing agent. No one else can sell them. Now, that should be illegal. You know, I don't even know. I mean, I can see selling. How can you be an exclusive listing agent? You should have to compete if you're on the up and up. So we'll see what if it pans out with anything. There's been rumors for years that he's under federal investigation, but so far nothing. But all we can do is hope, and people are getting fed up with him. And that's not going to help his image, riding around a car with condos while everyone else is struggling to pay the real estate taxes. So these guys are, they're not living in the real world here. You know what I mean? They don't know what's going on. It's the same with our union officials. They don't know how people are struggling. They're getting two salaries or, consulting contracts, concessions. They don't do any physical work either. So they're not worn out after work like a laborer or driver. So they're not living in the real world. But they sold their job like they are living in the real world. And the guys that are working, when I went out to, say, Mayfair at 2:30, these guys are tired. You can just see it. They're tired. They're sweating. And they voted or didn't vote for these guys or didn't vote at all. And I'm, like, astonished. You go, you're busting your balls and you're going to vote for these guys? They just got out of an air-conditioned car. They haven't sweat in 20 years. They haven't broke a sweat on a job. You go, you guys are nuts. Think about that.
Yeah.
So they did. I guess they like it.
Just like the general laborers. General laborers voted for him, and you're on a 4-year probation.
I find that hard to believe.
So,
but I'll take your word.
Yeah.
A lot of them didn't come out. You know, I talked to a lot of general laborers. Yes, run up to the election. I see them at Tony's, or I see them at lunch, or I see them in Ravenswood. And, they're all fed up. But, I didn't see a lot of them come out to vote. I was there about 4 hours. I didn't see them. They may have came after I left, but I would say a lot of them didn't come out.
Well,
so,
and it seemed like a lot of retirees showed up.
Well, is it legal to have a retiree who's not in good standing vote? That's the question. That's a question for the international to answer. And
right.
Hopefully someone will forward that to them.
Yeah.
Because that should be illegal. How can you let a member vote? It's not in good standing. And I'm in good standing, and I get to vote. Then didn't you mention there was some kind of amnesty a while ago?
Yep, amnesty, and everybody should have been in the amnesty.
Right, they never sent a written notice to anybody. Just like this trustee election coming up. Right when I retired, they had an election. We were never notified, orally, by a memo, or by mail. This time, they sent out the postcards, so someone got on their case. So I hope, the pension fund is now a little more transparent in that aspect. So we'll see what happens.
Right.
The election is for one retired annuitant to be on the board. I think there's 8 people on the board, 4 appointed by the city, 4 associated, one with the pension board, 1 appointed by the union, and 1 elected laborer or elected member, not necessarily labor. And then secretary treasurer is appointed. So there's four. Well, I guess the union doesn't have to appoint the secretary treasurer, but they normally do. That's what they've been doing since I took notice 12 years ago. So I guess,
right.
I don't know if they have to appoint the secretary. They could appoint. Could they appoint the sergeant at arms to be, trustee? I don't know. But as long as they're doing their job with the voting against the city, that's all I. But when Victor Roa sent out that forward in the annuitant newsletter, the annual letter, saying we need reform from the annuitants or we'll be insolvent in 2026 or something like that. And I go, I said to him, well, what about these 32 financial firms that are investing our money? I think there's over 32 for $1.3 billion. Isn't that excessive? And are they going to reduce their fees and commissions? He said, well, he gave me a runaround. He didn't really answer the question. So this is what should be addressed. Since the fund is hurting, I think all should participate, especially the financial firm. Now, Northern Trust, who's the custodian, who cuts your checks and invests money, they've got like $28 million from the TARP funds back in 2008-09, $28 or $29 million. Yet they're still charging top dollar, I'm sure, to cut a check, the top dollar to invest. And guess what? All these financial firms lost 11%. So that's a great excuse to lower your fees and commissions. You lost 11% in one of the biggest bull markets in the world has ever known. The stock market went up from 7,000 in 08 to 22,000, and they lost 11%. It went up about 2,000 in 1 year. They lost 11%. So that's unbelievable.
Wow.
I could see losing 11% in a depression, 1929 or 2008-09. This was in 16. They lost 11%. One of the biggest bull markets ever. So obviously they didn't do such a good job. And this is what needs to be addressed.
It would be nice to find out who gives the investors, who picks the investors. Because I'm pretty sure whoever picks the investors, they're getting a nice little piece of change on the comeback.
Well, that's, you can't really say that because we don't know. But what the question needs to be answered is, why is James Capasso getting three pensions? This is the second or third trusteeship. He ran and won, legitimately. But why would a guy with three pensions want to be on the pension board? It makes you wonder. I don't know. I believe the trustees decide who invests the money. I'm not sure. The city contributes a lot, so they, I'm sure they have a lot of say. They're matching the funds, or they were supposed to. They haven't done it in 30 years. So I'm sure they have a say on who the investors are, but you have to start going to the meetings. They're open to the public, but I don't know if they take public comment. You can probably observe. I don't know if they take questions. But, yeah, and another guy, Charles Loverdi, is some kind of Department of Transportation boss. He's going to be eligible for two pensions. So he's another elected official. Now, Will Irving, he was Secretary Treasurer years ago, and he's eligible for three pensions. So it makes you wonder why these guys who want to, and they're not getting paid for that. So why, if you're not getting paid and you're getting three pensions, why would you be interested in that? That's what I don't figure out. Hopefully there's none of that going on. I would imagine it would be illegal if you're accepting favors for investments. I don't think they would risk going to federal prison, but I've seen stranger things.
Wow. So we're down to our last 10 minutes. Anything that you'd like to get off your chest? You got the floor. If you want to talk about anything, you're more welcome to talk about it. Right now I'm working in my neighborhood with the youth. So I'm going to a meeting tomorrow, and I'm going to invite some of the older guys to come on the show and you know, just talk about how can we help the youth and stop some of this gang violence. So if it's anything in your neighborhood you're doing and you want to talk about, you're more welcome to talk about it. We got roughly 12 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to a meeting tonight sponsored by the 40th Ward Lions, which was founded by Dan DeLighten, who ran against Pat O'Connor. And the guest speaker will be Fritz Cagle, who is running against Joe Berrios for assessor. Now, as you all know, what came out in Ron's emails that were released, the assessments are done unfairly. Where poorer neighborhoods are over-assessed and where Lincoln Park is under-assessed. And it came to light, and hopefully the media will keep pounding on that, but this guy will shed a light on it. I'm sure he's pretty knowledgeable. I heard he's a lawyer and an accountant, so the guy probably knows his stuff. But he's not a political hack, and he's not a political insider. So, but it's good to see Berrios with some competition. Now, as you know, what happened a few days ago, the Democrats met at a restaurant, all the Democratic committeemen from the suburbs and city, anointed Pritzker as the candidate for Democratic choice for slated for governor. Now, that doesn't mean all the committeemen voted for him. They just got outvoted. There's still a lot of machine candidates left. It's going to take years to get rid of them all. But it's slowly happening, all these machine Democratic committeemen. It's slowly changing. One of the guys who could have been committeeman in the 40th Ward, Alderman Paywire, when he was elected 8 years ago, he didn't seek the committeemanship. He left it for Ron. So that told me right away he's not a reformer. He started out as one. Now he voted on every one of Ron's TIF proposals, and everyone he voted about 85% to 90% with all Ron's agenda. So this Paywire, he's running for governor, but he's just in Ron's hip pocket. But he could have been an independent progressive committeeman, and he turned it down. I mean, all he had to do was throw his name in the hat, and he would have won. So it's slowly changing, Reg, with the committeeman. Might take a few more years, but it doesn't mean Pritzker's going to win. It's like the union back in Rom. Doesn't mean all the union members vote for Rom. It's obviously well over half did. I'd say 60, 70% didn't, but a few probably did. So that's where we're at, and just keep the fight up. All you can do is keep pushing.
Well, you know, I know right now the teachers are going through a lot right now, so I support the teachers, and we got to keep our, you know, keep. You know, I tell the sanitation worker, if Ron don't want to pay a teacher, what do he think about you? You know, and yeah. A buddy of mine told me something. He said, do you know that they always paying police payouts, but they blame everything on sanitation workers?
Yeah. See, in one aspect, Ron doesn't like police, but he's protecting all the bad cops. Like this guy, you know, stonewalling all these court cases. There's guys that are on video shooting people in the back. I mean, if he would just let that go, more people would trust him, you know, from the black community. But when they see that, they're never going to trust him. Never. There's so much stonewalling going on with these court cases. It's unbelievable. You know, they refuse to release a lot of documents. Talk to any lawyer that's had any kind of case in front of the city. It's just dragged on for years and years and years.
Wow.
So,
well, once again, we had a decent show. And anything else, Dan? Go ahead.
No, that's about it. Hopefully, I'll see you next week. And I'll have some more info.
And if you have anybody you'd like to invite to the show, you're more welcome. I'm going to try to invite some people to the show. I want to move it more to the community and ask the community to get involved, because when he said that he wants to help the taxpayers, all sanitation workers that live in the city are taxpayers. So it's almost like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. You want to lower my salary, and I still pay the taxes, even with this soda tax, which is ridiculous. So, you know, it is what it is, but we got to stay vigilant. Last question. What do you think about this soda tax?
Well, it's interesting because now the federal government said they might forfeits about $87 million in Medicaid, because I was told the Medicaid buyers of the sugar tax are paying at the register, but just can apply for a refund. I guess that's some kind of violation of federal law. But I've heard other Medicaid recipients that that I know on it. They say, no, the tax isn't taken at the register. So I don't think the county rolled it out right. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people are getting taxed on water and sparkling water. So I don't think the county rolled it out. I think Crickwinkle is done. That's the nail in her coffin, and I'm glad to see it. I don't really care for her. She's a Ron backer. She chided Strozier for increasing taxes, and she increased taxes two times to three times more than Strozier ever did. So I hope this is the end of her. And a lot of people don't like her, even in the county. The sheriff doesn't like her. The judge doesn't like her. So hopefully this is her the end of her. It'll be okay with me. This Kim Fox now.
And
The Kim Fox hasn't decided whether to prosecute the guy that this woman's son that got killed, who received a $1 million settlement that was in the news lately.
Right. The 15-year-old.
They want the police oversight board to overturn their decision or bring a criminal charge. And she hasn't commented on it for like 3 or 4 days now. So that's not good either, because she ran on a reform platform. She criticized Alvarez for doing the same thing. So when you sleep with the devil, this is what happens to you. So all these people that ride on the coattails of these politicians and buy their dinner tickets and do their favors, you'll get burned eventually. It just takes time.
And we have 5 minutes, so I'm going to ask you another question. Have you heard anything about the investments with the laborers or the unions that supported the Sun-Times? Have you heard anything new?
No. I just heard you told me our union may have some – I don't believe – you know, I didn't hear our union. I know another union bought was part investor. But it's a hush-hush deal, because when it came out, they had them on Chicago Tonight. And the main guy who bought it, that Eisengrass, the ex-alderman, said, well, we don't discuss an ongoing sale, so they won't give details. Now that the Trump's back in the news, this is on the back burner. So we really don't know. I'm sure it'll come out eventually, who owns it and what the details are of it, and if they're getting subsidized by taxpayers.
Well, we had a successful show once again. Every Monday, 5 o'clock, we're here. Anything you'd like to talk about, you're more welcome. If you'd like a guest to come on, you're more welcome to bring a guest. Anything you'd like to say before we leave, Dan?
Yeah, I'll talk to some people to come on next week. I'm sure I'll try and get them to come on. Because contract negotiations are supposedly frozen. They're still negotiating. You know that. Emmanuel wants to negotiate as quick as possible and this career service wage. But it's frozen, so you won't get back pay. So the union stuck it in the members, stuck it to the members again, so they can't get back pay. Why, they get $1,000 for a 15-minute union meeting.
And you know what? So, it would be nice if you can hold a union representative responsible for the material they put out under fraud. If you put out material that you have no objective of trying to achieve, that's fraudulent. So, you know, that's something to just leave in the air.
Here's what I'll do, Reggie. After the contract settled, I'll photocopy the integrity slate. I got a copy of their platform. I'll get, you know, a couple hundred copies, and we can pass them out. The laborers are reminding them, this is what you voted for, or this is what you shouldn't have voted for, or this is because you didn't vote, these guys are in. So I'm sure laborers, it'll get them a little steam. So we can do that after the contract. So, and when these guys don't get 12 sick days or 12 holidays or additional vacation or give members a choice of health care plans, yeah, okay. Yeah. And eliminate wellness. Well, they haven't notified anyone with a memo or you that they're eliminating wellness, have they, Rich?
Nope. No. And actually, they voted when we brought it up to eliminate, and we could have voted it out after the IGs reported in the Sun-Times that nobody knows where the money is. The union, 5-2, voted against to keep the wellness program. So when they put that out, I knew it was BS.
And here's another in their platform, heightening enforcement of the collective bargaining agreement. They're just making oral agreements. They're violating the Constitution. They're violating the collective bargaining agreements with these bogus oral agreements, hurting, suspending laborers for 15 to 20 days. So Yeah, this is a great flyer they put out, and it'll come back to bite them, we hope. But I'll keep a copy, and once the contract's out and everyone's griping about it, you know, I'll go to different work sites and pass that out to remind them this is what you got. So, Rez, next week, I'll talk to you.
All right, thanks for calling, and to next week, I'll see everybody again. I'm going to play the last song, goodbye, but I'll talk to everybody else over the week. All right, peace.
All right, thanks.
All right, Dan.
It's not now. Then when? It's not today. Promises, a love he pledged for days to come is as good as none. You can wait till morning comes, you can wait for the new day, you can wait and lose this heart, you can wait and soon be sorry. Then when? It's not today. Then why make your promises? A love declared for days to come is as good as none. Always thinking the moment has arrived.